Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. In today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series of podcasts states, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. In the last podcast, we continued listening to Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from more than 30 years ago. In that particular broadcast, David and Karen Maine shared key information regarding the subject of the responsive reading of Scripture in a worship service. Today, we continue with this topic to which every pastor should pay particular attention. In fact, this broadcast has the title, The Very Responsive Reading of Scripture. The key sentence for today, the responsive reading of Scripture focuses a congregation's attention on the powerful presence of God in His Word.
Dean, you know, I think people really like to participate in the public reading of Scripture. A lot of that depends on the leader. If the leader comes at it very hesitantly and doesn't give that sense of taking charge, then the congregation will be reluctant as well. But if you get the leader who says, come along with me, we're going to do this, you're going to appreciate it, it will live in your memory. It's easy to bring people along. In fact, sometimes I'm amazed at their response. You'll get a little of that when you hear the broadcast because we didn't have a congregation at that time. We just had office employees. And it was interesting to me. After a while, they began to get into what we wanted them to do, to be the congregation, and they're just in the studio. A lot of them didn't know each other, you know, and we're talking probably 20 people. At a certain point, it kind of caught, which was interesting.
I'm looking very much forward, so let's listen to what you and your wife, Karen, have to say on this topic.
Surveys indicate that certain parts of the typical Sunday morning church service are considered quite dull by the parishioners. Among these are the invocation, the benediction, and the reading of Scripture. But all this will change if David and Karen Maines have their way about it. This is Ted Seeley welcoming you to the Chapel of the Air and Part 8 in a series we're calling Down with the Dolls. It's based on 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, and David, why don't you share what that is?
Well, Ted, it's Paul's admonition to Timothy, and he's saying, till I come, attend to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. And we've said before, but maybe it bears repeating, that a lot of attention has been given to preaching and teaching, but not very much lately to the public reading of Scripture. And we have come a long way in this series. Why don't you track our route for us, Karen?
Well, David, we started with some very simple ideas for the solo reader advanced to two voices, to families who read Scripture publicly. We went into group reading, congregational responsive readings, and today we're going to talk about very responsive reading.
I like that title. Okay, Scripture can come alive for people, we're saying, as greater attention is paid to the way it is read in public. Now, yesterday, as we did Psalm 23, I think that would fit anywhere. It's possible some of the things we'll demonstrate today won't fit in all churches, but it's helpful just to be exposed to them. For example, antiphonal readings. Now, that word basically means alteration, and we usually think of it as a choir and then kind of an echo effect. But this is done with Scripture reading, and a group of people we kind of brought together from the office, and I think this was maybe our third or fourth try, and what we're reading is Psalm 1.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked,
in the counsel of the wicked,
nor stands in the way of sinners,
in the way of sinners.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
the law of the Lord.
And on his law he meditates,
day and night.
He is like
a tree
planted by streams of water, that yields
its fruit
in its season,
and its leaf does not wither.
In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so,
but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
That again is an example of an antiphonal reading, and the next one will be an example of chant. Now, I think at this point it would be good to remind our listeners that these are not just Dave and Karen ideas off the wall. We feel very comfortable that our ideas of reading the public scripture are taken definitely right from scripture itself. If we will look carefully at the Psalms, if we will look carefully at the way scriptures were read in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, we will find that there is much evidence here of even chant being used. For instance, the 136th Psalm has a refrain that repeats after the verses.
After every phrase it says, "For his steadfast love endures forever." And I kind of think they didn't just read it that way. I think there was probably a rhythm to it as well. So maybe we can try, not with Psalm 136, but with a topical study about Christ the Great King, and we're picking up a chant. You'll hear it before very long. These are scriptures from all through the Bible, and what we're going to do is kind of imagine ourselves watching a procession. Americans might think of it as a parade on the way to church, and we're seeing it from the beginning as it comes right past us and then kind of tails off into the distance. These Psalms of Ascents, what were they, Karen, in the scripture?
Well, they were Psalms where the congregation lifted up its voice as it ascended the steps of the temple. So that's the sound that we are trying to duplicate here with this reading.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your King is coming to you humble and mounted on an ass and on a colt, the foal of an ass.
So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore.
His kingdom cannot fail. He rules o'er earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. Rejoice again.
I say rejoice.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. From his mouth issues a sharp sword with which to smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Thy solemn processions are seen, O God. The processions of my God, my King, into the sanctuary.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
I will extol thee, my God and King, and bless thy name forever and ever.
Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Well, that's the use of chant. And if you think, what will the Mainses do next? Well, I'd like to add another one, shout. Where did we pick this up first, Karen?
Well, David, when we had the church in the city of Chicago, inner city of Chicago, we had an interracial congregation. And many of the people of other races were very distressed with our cool kind of white worship. And so they introduced us to this exuberant exclamation before the Lord of praise and adoration. And you and I fell in love with it. And so this is what we are trying to work with this reading.
We still don't do it very well, do we?
No.
And this is, again, an illustration that we've done. And we are all white people who are doing this. And I wish somehow I could get a group of blacks who could do it very, very well for us. But this is Shout, and it's taken from Philippians chapter 2. I've turned the verses around a little bit different way, but it'll give you at least a flavor. It's very brief. Let's try it.
What name has God exalted above every name?
The name of Jesus.
And what name shall every knee bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth?
The name of Jesus.
And what name shall every tongue confess is Lord to the glory of God the Father?
The name of Jesus.
Say again, the name of that one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross.
The name of Jesus.
Again, tell me the name of the one who emptied himself and became our servant.
The name of Jesus.
Then raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia.
Hallelujah!
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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Karen, I can see the organ coming in underneath all of that with Christ the Lord is risen today, and then the whole congregation just taking off singing the Hallelujah, Hallelujah, and such. One of the things that's important, I think, as people listen to these different illustrations of different ways to do responsive readings is that they are willing to risk making mistakes because people think, well, we may do it and do it wrong. Well, I think that they're going to do it wrong. There's no way you can attempt new things and expect to be perfect overnight. You have to be willing to say, for the sake of growth, we will make some attempts and maybe some mistakes.
And at the same time, I think we have to keep in mind that for some churches, these attempts at congregational readings would be too far advanced. And I think we want to strike a balance between moving into appropriate scripture readings that are public and having a loving, considerate approach for those people in certain congregations to whom this will be too new. And so it is a balance that we're trying to strike. Not that these are inappropriate approaches. They are not. But they may be inappropriate for some places.
I think it's important, however, to keep in mind as well that the key message we want to be able to communicate in our public services regarding God's Word is that it is alive.
David, I think I really like very responsive readings.
Okay.
At least I can't imagine participating in such a very responsive reading during a worship service and not also feeling very connected to those around me in the congregation.
You know what I would do with someone like you, Dean? I would love to have you in a congregation because you're a great reader. And I would get to people like you. I would probably talk to two or three of them ahead of time. And I would say, I need your voices to boom out on this. And if I can get you three sitting in different places to really come along, you'll draw all the rest of the people with you. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong at all. You're just saying, I'm priming the pump. And I don't want my good readers to hold back. That's all you're saying. So, yeah, if I ever get you in the congregation, you know I'm going to get you ahead of time and say, Dean, help me out here. This is new, but we can make it if you come along.
Forewarned is forearmed.
That's exactly right. A lot of times people take their cue from the minister. So if the minister holds back and kind of sits there, the people will hold back and sit there. But the minister is usually one of those who's got a great voice. And so if you say to him, you come along as well, I need your voice in on this. Leadership is a huge thing, and ministers need to assume that leadership, not just in terms of their preaching, but in terms of all of the different aspects of the service.
Sometimes people ask, why do you do these podcasts on things that aren't sermons when you're trying to help pastors create effective sermons? But of course, the answer is all of these elements of the worship service are intended to connect with the sermon because we're talking about carefully coordinated worship services.
Yes, very much.
So having this responsive reading go well, or any of the other readings we're talking about in this series, helps enhance the effectiveness of the pastor's sermon when he or she gets up to preach.
In fact, it's very possible. Many ministers will begin their sermon with a scripture reading to say, as the sermon is begun, I want you to help me with the scriptures as we're reading them this morning. This is the passage I'm going to unfold, but work with me here, all right? And the congregation will do that.
Very good indeed. Well, we thank you for joining us for this time together. You found this sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have lots of resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.